Okay, our next presenter is Dr. Melanie Lutenbacher. Dr. Lutenbacher is an associate professor of nursing and medicine in general pediatrics at Vanderbilt University. Her research focuses around developing and evaluating family-centered systems of care that use community and home-based interventions to prevent known risks to pregnant women and women with young children. She will be presenting this morning on a comparison of maternal and neonatal health outcomes, women enrolled and not enrolled in an evidence-based nurse home visitation program.
Thank you. And good morning, everyone. And it's so nice to see so many people interested in this topic. And thanks for the opportunity to present on this project. And I will be talking about women who were enrolled and not enrolled in the Nurse Family Partnership Program. I would first like to acknowledge my co-authors and contributors. And so that is Dr. Mary Dietrich, who is our biostatistician, Deborah Nergan, who is the project coordinator, and Dr. Amy Picklesheimer, who was a co-investigator and also the director of the regional center where this was located. And I have no disclosures. And also to acknowledge our funding, this was part of the evidence-based home visitation grant that was awarded to Children's Trust of South Carolina, as well as some funds from the state of South Carolina. And just the collaborators in this entire project. All right, so the purpose of this study was to compare maternal and neonatal health outcomes in two groups of women who are receiving prenatal care at a regional obstetrical clinic in South Carolina. And so that was the women who were enrolled in a nurse family partnership program, and then women who were eligible were not enrolled in the program. And so just to give you a little bit of background, like so many southern states, South Carolina has way too many people that are obese, too many children living in poverty, too many births to teen moms, too many births that are too early or the infant is too small, and too many babies who die early each year. And so a collaborative effort was actually undertaken in South Carolina. It was a very interesting effort started in 2007. And they really did a wide state needs assessment. We're really looking at their maternal and child health indicators and how poor they were. And we're really trying to strategize about how can we find a system-wide intervention that we could implement to really try to improve maternal and child health indicators in our state. So it was a very interesting process. And so they looked at different counties, they looked at different areas, they then did a review of different types of interventions. And so they very intentionally selected, and they were looking at evidence-based programs, and so they very intentionally selected the Nurse Family Partnership Program. And with that, then they identified six initial sites that would have the Nurse Family Partnership, and they were able to secure multi-million dollars from the Duke Endowment Fund and then later from Blue Cross Blue Shield of South Carolina to actually fund the implementation of the NFP programs. So the EBHV grant that we had was actually to assess the implementation process of all of those. It didn't fund the Nurse Family Partnership programs, just to make that clear. Okay. All right, so the Greenville Hospital System Obstetric Center was one of the six initial Nurse Family Partnership sites in South Carolina. This is a really large clinic. It serves about 3,000 women annually. About a third of the women are primogravidas. Many of the women are poor or at a high risk, and they have about 8% of their births a year that are less than 32 weeks gestation. They initiated the Nurse Family Partnership Program in 2009. And as I said, this was part of the home visitation grant. I'm sure most of the people in the room are familiar with the Nurse Family Partnership, but for those less familiar, it is a nurse home visitation program that is among those that's classified as evidence-based. It has been evaluated via several RCTs and implemented in a variety of communities and across the U.S. and in Europe as well. And the program was designed to address the needs of first-time pregnant women who are poor and at high risk for poor maternal and infant outcomes. Women are enrolled during pregnancy, and then they can be followed through the second birthday of their child. So nurses work with women to promote positive health behaviors, economic self-sufficiency, and then optimal maternal and child health. So for our project, we used a comparison group design to assess the differences in outcomes. And we basically were hypothesizing that women in the treatment group, those women who were receiving the nurse family partnership, would have better maternal and infant outcomes. So all of the women received their prenatal care at the Greenville OB Center. So women selected for the control group were randomly selected women who were eligible to be enrolled in NFP, and they were also matched for race and also for time that they received prenatal care, but they did not receive NFP. So the participants in the treatment group received NFP services in addition to standard prenatal care in the clinic. And so our final sample included 230 women in the control group and 119 in the NFP group. Now the data collection, the project was approved by Vanderbilt University Institutional Review Board and then also the Greenville Regional Hospital System, IRB. And data was abstracted from three sources. We used clinical medical records and then birth certificate data. One was completed by the woman herself, and then one was completed by hospital staff. So another note, this does not include data that was collected in the NFP program. So for people that are familiar with that and that database, this does not include that data. Data was collected on a structured abstraction form, and it was collected in the fall of 2011. So our form was developed to capture some key data elements, such as participant sociodemographics, payment type, risk factors like smoking behaviors, the presence or absence of domestic violence, maternal infections, different types of mental health issues. And then we also had the obstetrical histories, the number of the prenatal visits, triage visits and admissions, intrapartum complications, and then, of course, the birth outcomes. We had neonatal outcomes that included gestational age and birth weight, and also Apgar scores, and then their morbidity. And we used some trained research staff that were there actually at the clinic. Dr. Picklesmeyer is also a faculty member and has access to research staff and to medical students, and so there was a trained coordinator at the site who trained all of the folks who abstracted the records, and then also conducted a 10% review of the files to check for data fidelity and integrity and so forth. So then when we got the data, we basically had a de-identified file that came to us to work with. So we first, our analyses, we used descriptive statistics to inspect and summarize the distributions of demographic and all other variables for each group. Percentages were used to summarize categorical data. Due to the heavily skewed distributions of the continuous data, median values as well as minimum and maximum values are presented in the following slides. And then the comparisons between the groups, we used chi-square tests of independence for the categorical variables and then the Mann-Whitney test for continuous variables. And we set a criterion of 0.05 to determine statistical significance. So looking at the characteristics of the sample, and remember we matched on race, the women who were actually in the nurse family partnership group had more women who were unmarried, without paternity acknowledged, slightly younger and less educated than the women in the control group. Now, we didn't have any differences in insurance status, with most of the women in both groups having Medicaid coverage, and there were no differences in the number of prior pregnancies, with this being the first pregnancy for over three-quarters of all the women. And we then looked at some perinatal risk factors. And when we looked at these factors, we didn't find any statistically significant difference between the groups for these risk factors. And we also looked at pre-gravid BMIs as well, and there were no differences. But just to let you know, about 40% of the sample was overweight or obese, and slightly more than 6% were morbidly obese. So when we looked at prenatal care, Some differences in patterns of prenatal care did emerge between the two groups. Although the median for the time prenatal care was initiated was similar, women in the control group began prenatal care just a little bit later than the women who were receiving NFP services. They also had more telephone and triage calls than women receiving the NFP services. And more NFP participants were enrolled in WIC than in the control group. All right, when we looked at labor and delivery variables, there were no differences in the type of delivery attendant, with most women having a physician deliver their infant, and there were no statistical differences in the onset of labor or with complications of labor. Those in the NFP group did have more epidural use than the women in the control group. And as you can see, most of the women had a spontaneous vaginal delivery, and there were basically no differences in maternal conditions like lacerations, transfusions, or admissions to an ICU. And then we examined the birth outcomes. And as you can see, we saw no statistically significantly differences in the gestational age between the groups. In the control group, 89.6% of the births occurred at term, while in the NFP treatment group, 84% of the births were at term. And we had an overall preterm birth rate of 12.3% for the entire sample. And likewise for birth weight, 89.3% of control and 86.6% of the treatment group, neonates weighed 2,500 grams or more. And there were no differences in neonatal morbidity conditions like birth injuries, surfactant treatment, antibiotic usage, assisted ventilation, or congenital anomalies. And then we evaluated a couple of postpartum outcomes. And when we examined these, again, we saw no differences between the groups. When we looked at contraception at hospital discharge, almost all of the women had at least a plan for contraception at the time of discharge, and then about two-thirds of the women had a six-week postpartum visit. So what we did as well when we were a little surprised that there were no differences in lots of the variables. We did pool everybody together, and we just tried to look at factors that were associated with preterm births. And when we did that, we did see that maternal age at delivery, marital status, gestational hypertension, and vaginal bleeding were the most strongly associated with a preterm birth. And that's for all of the women, whether they had NFP or not. And so it leads also to study limitations. And again, this study really was an opportunity. It was not the focus of the grant. It emerged really out of a conversation that I was having with Amy, and she was really wanting to look at some of the outcomes in the clinic and compare them to other women that she was serving, and we talked about it. We said, well, you know, we could do this. So we just put this little study together, and it was very interesting for us, and it was very interesting for her to sort of look at this and to sort of see what was going on and all. We were limited, of course, by the data, and as many of you I know have worked with large data sets or chart records, birth certificate data. It is what it is. And sometimes that's not always really helpful. So that is certainly a limitation. But it at least gave us some information. And it gave us a little bit more even in some areas than we thought, and in other areas where we really wanted more, it wasn't there. So we also had some group differences that emerged at baseline. And although all the women were eligible for NFP and we matched, there were some differences. And so the women in the NFP program were more likely to be unmarried, younger, and less educated than those in the control group. And that could have, represented either some self-selection bias or maybe the folks in the clinic were working a little bit harder because they knew those folks were at higher risk, perhaps. And so when we looked at it, and there was some initial concern even by the just total outcome of how many preterm births there were in all of the women, and certainly those in the NFP, we really started thinking about that and just thinking that it perhaps even reduced the risks. You know, it was a very high-risk group to start with. They're still high risk, but perhaps they're better than they are. So at least the high-risk women were getting the services, perhaps, that they needed most. So, but again, it leads us to, you know, we really need to look at this more. We need to do it again. The study also occurred in the early part of the implementation process of the NFP program. So they recommend that you wait about 18 months, and this was just barely at that point in time. So it would be very helpful to then repeat it again, you know, certainly in another year. And so just very quickly, I mean, our conclusions, obviously our overall study hypothesis was not supported, but it does add to the growing body of knowledge about home visitation programs for at-risk pregnant women. And some of the difference we found, even with the triaging, perhaps that indicated as well, you know, the women who had NFP did have fewer admissions during their prenatal phase and fewer triage calls. So this could mean that they were using the resource that they had to help them process some of the issues that they needed to process, that perhaps the women in the control group were just going to the hospital or calling another service. So there could be some potential with healthcare utilization and costs. And that's it. Yes. Yeah.